Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection so you can live your best life.
And now it's time for the 5 on 5.
The 5 on 5 is sponsored by a wonderful Vero Beach salon called Kaleidoscope Hair, formerly The Color Experience. Sandra Reynoso and Callie Ruiz are dedicated to giving patrons the best cuts, the most natural color, and everyone's favorite extraordinary shampoos. Located in the Kmart Plaza at 1545 U.S. Highway 1, they can be reached at 772-569-3645. Kaleidoscope Hair. Get a new twist on your look today.
Thanks, Nancy. That was great. The 5 on 5 today, many of you are not, many listening around the country on iHeartRadio, you don't know it, but it's raining in Vero Beach, Florida. Our sunny Florida has been rainy lately, hasn't it?
Yes.
A little bit chilly. So I have joys of a rainy day, 5 points for joys on a rainy day. And number 5 is, I don't have to water the yard.
That's a big thing down here.
It is a big thing. Number 4. Sometimes my sleeping is enhanced on a rainy night.
Yes.
I want to snuggle in, and it's easier to just stay sleeping. Number 3, it makes it okay to snuggle up with a good book during the day.
Exactly.
You know, you don't have to go out and do all the other things you should be doing. You're like, oh, I'll just put a little throw cover on and read. Number 2, baking on a rainy day makes the whole house feel and smell like home in the truest sense of the word.
Oh, yes.
And something about the wet outside keeps that warm, toasty baking smell inside.
I remember I used to bake for the boys before they'd come home from school so that they would have that smell in
the
house.
That's a good thing. And number 1, no guilt for not going out and accomplishing. It kind of gives you permission to lay low.
Yes.
Yeah, the 5 on 5. You know, today we're talking on the radio show with Nancy D'Amico, and we're talking about getting through life's big issues and changes and some of the things that stop us, you know, slow us down. They're sometimes really big. Sometimes they're small things, but they feel big to us. And we've been given a few different things. We talked about welcoming the growth opportunity. We talked about, like, remembering that you're going to heal and you're going to be able to help others once you get through this thing. I think another point of it is, you know, when you're going through a big a growth opportunity, sometimes it's important for me to remember that I don't have to know all the answers right now. You know, sometimes I don't even know if it's my work. Like, I have to go slow and figure out what's my part and what's somebody else's part. And if it's somebody else's part, I really can't do anything about it. I can only be the best me I can be. I can take care of my part, and I can make those, you know, judgment calls as I have a little time. Sometimes I need a little time. When it's in my face, I just want to fix everything. That's my nature. Not all of us are fixers, but some of us are. And if you're one of us, if you're a fixer, slow down.
Yeah.
Take a deep breath. And just kind of wait and see that you don't have to have all the answers. And you might not have them all at once, even if it is your work. You might not have the answers right now, even if it is your work. But know that the answers will come if you just get right with your world. Just get right. Does that make sense?
Yes. I think it applies a lot to me as far as, you know, having children and learning to let them go and not. You know, especially when they, you know, there's like this thing, a number. Are they adults at 21 or are they adults at 17 or 18? You know, and having to let go and let them make their own decisions. And, you know, then you step back and you think, I'm not their mother anymore. They're able to, do you know, navigate this world on their own. And then you watch them make mistakes and having to not get in the middle of their mistakes because those are growth opportunities for them.
Right. It's true. That's a very good way of looking at it, is how you look at it for someone you love.
Right.
Where you jump in where you wouldn't. You know, I think some of this too, this part of this is knowing that you don't have to have all the answers right now. sometimes you just got to focus on the now. What's right in front of you right now? You know, we talk about that a lot at Beth Wee, you know, and staying in the now is the moment of power. That's where, you know, back in the Torah, Moses tells the story of meeting, you know, the supreme being and asked, what's your name? And the name that was given is I am. Not I was, I will be, but I am. It's power is in the now. And so right now, if you're facing a challenge and it's a hard one, right now is still where you can get some answers. But you got to get the answers before you can act on them.
Exactly.
And you have to just celebrate the now by maybe getting quiet, taking a deep breath, you know, just allowing what's happening to happen and say, okay, this isn't what I want to happen, but it's what I'm in the middle of. And now I have to figure out what I'm going to do about that. And just take it slow and know that, you know, it's going to, like for an example, say you lost your job. You can't fix that right now. You can't just say, okay, well, now I have a new job. No, well, not necessarily. But you have to open your mind to why did you lose the job? Were you burnt out on that job? Do you need a break from that kind of work? Sometimes people do need a break, especially people in service positions. They need a break. You know, they can get burned out.
Mm-hmm.
But just say it's you lost your job. I'm just kind of trying to think of things that would, what do you do for your next step? Is it making a phone call? Is it reaching out to someone else? Is it fixing your resume? Is it, you know, there's other things you can do right now that will help. But you don't have to fix the whole thing in this little moment.
Yeah, it's learning that you don't have to be bogged down by the problem.
Right.
You know, like I'm sitting here right now. This is all I have, is this precious moment, you know. So it's, I need to, you know, like regroup my mind and say, okay, this is what's happening at this moment, and stay where my feet are.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because that's where you're going to make the most impact.
Right.
Is if you can be present. The other thing is, you know, I was never really good at this, but I've learned to do a little bit of it. And that's like to use my imagination, to imagine what it could be like if it were better. You know, some people call it creative visualization. You know, that's the real term for it, you know. But I sometimes do it anyway without even knowing that I was doing it. But say somebody's sick, say one of your kids is sick, and you picture them when they're well. And you say, oh, I can't wait till they're well again and they're, you know, they're horseback riding or they're whatever it is your kid loves to do. You know, they're skateboarding down the street or they're complaining about their homework or I'm telling them to get off their game. You know, get off that game. You've had enough of it today or whatever it is for you and your kids. But visualization takes practice. But, you know, say you've got a broken heart or say something happened that, you know, wounded you. And sometimes it helps to picture yourself whole again. Have you ever tried it?
Yes. I think that's, for me, too, it's looking at things with gratitude.
Right.
Rather than staying in, you know, my own self-pity, I have to come out of that at some point, you know, and it doesn't always work. I can't always find the things to be grateful for, but, you know, that helps, you know. And like I said before, you know, with age, I have a history of things going wrong in my life and blowing up in my life. And then I have a history of getting past those things.
Yeah.
And when I was younger, I had no clue that, you know, I lived in the pain. And I had no clue of
it was
that
gonna
I could
pass.
Change it. Yeah. This was forever.
You
know, I'm doomed to have to face this life this way forever. But as I got older and I saw, you know, I had more experience with, you know, things happening, and everybody's life, things happen, you know.
Right.
It's, you know, like when you're making plans, God's sitting up there laughing at you because he's got a different...
got a different...
agenda.
Yeah, knows what's going to happen. You know, during the break, we talked briefly, and you mentioned your grandsons, and that you always wear the same perfume so that they know they know the smell.
Right.
That the smell of grandma is the smell of grandma. And, You know, it's funny because I was thinking about it when my mother died in a car accident, and there was no notice. It was just I got the call, you know, that she had been killed in a car accident. And when we went, my father had passed earlier. And when we went up and we were breaking down the house, you know, and I have a lot of siblings, and we were each of us took some parts of the home. And one of the things I took was this raincoat that was my mother's, this yellow raincoat. Now, my mom was this little petite thing, and at that point I was much heavier and bigger. There's no way I was going to wear the raincoat. Everybody's like, what do you want with the raincoat? I was like, I want the raincoat. Just give me the raincoat, you know. And I took this raincoat home, and I zipped it up in a bag and in plastic. And every once in a while, when I was going through a tough time, I would unzip the zip and lift the plastic and just sink my head into that. And it smelled like my mother. And, you know, that gave me comfort.
Right.
And it's kind of a funny thing, but that's my imagination. I was using a scent to kind of revive my imagination. It's funny. Feelings wrap themselves around smells, around things that you see. Any of the five senses. You can touch something and think of somebody's shoe.
Exactly.
Or somebody's bathrobe or somebody's whatever it is. And you'll be like, oh, yeah, 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 you know. And it can bring comfort or it can bring, you know, pain. But keep that in mind, too. Because when you're going through a hard time, sometimes you might need to smell grandma's perfume, you know, something that simple.
Yes.
Like the boys, sometimes what they're having a hard time, maybe they just need to smell grandma's perfume. It sounds simple, but I got to be honest and say it's worked in my life. How about you?
It's worked in my life too. When my father passed, my mother asked me what I wanted, you know, from his things. And he had this cookie box. It was a metal cookie box, tin. And he used to keep all important papers in it. And that's all I wanted because that's what, you know.
That was Dad.
That was my father,
That
yeah.
was your dad's thing. Yeah, that's kind of cool. Well, you know, the last little thing that I want to talk about in the five ways that I was saying that I, you know, welcome the growth, use your imagination is when the one we're talking about now. You know that you don't have to have all the answers at once. Realize you're helping yourself and you can help others with the experience. And the other thing I wanted to say is, you know, look for the life lesson in your connection to the higher power, because every challenge brings with it an opportunity to connect with the higher power. I know not everybody listening has a, you know, some big religious or spiritual thing. I'm not asking you to, but the reality is that there's a place that brings us to recognizing that the challenge is here and I'm not alone. That I can lean on a higher power. You know, God is there in the mix, if only I ask. And I just want to throw that in there, because if you don't ask for what you need, you don't get it.
Right.
And it's just that simple. If you're sitting there saying, yeah, well, I've never gotten anything from God. Well, my question to you is, have you ever actually asked? Have you ever actually asked? So notice, you know, if you ask for help, notice who shows up.
Mm-hmm.
People will show up to help you. It's kind of bizarre.
It is amazing.
It is amazing, isn't it?
It's like sometimes I think God puts people right in front of me that I need at the exact moment and at the exact time.
Yeah.
And even books or, you know, something that comes along that I, you know, I can really relate to and focus on.
Or a song on the radio.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a good thing. So that's just the other thing I wanted to say is just kind of ask for what you need, because you're not alone in this. We're talking today about navigating life's big changes and transitions. And it's a lot. It takes some work and it takes some help and it takes some togetherness with other people, but it does happen. We're going to take a short little break and we're going to talk about some more things, more thoughts on this when we come back.
If you connect with the thoughts of Beth Wee Radio Hour, you should click on our website to find ideas that will help you live your best life. At BethWee.com, you'll discover Beth's weekly blog that encourages growth, a format you can fill in to create a prayer of victory to help you through a tough time, and in-depth videos teaching on 12 steps, even if you aren't battling alcoholism or addiction. Beth speaks to your personal place of brokenness so you can rise above it. All this and more at BethWee.com. Check it out today.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Beth Walsh Erickson. We're in the studio today, and I want to talk about our next workshop. For the month of love, February, the workshop is going to be on February 6th, Saturday afternoon. Registration starts at 2 o'clock. The workshop runs from 2:30 to 4:30. And the topic is the greatest love of all. What keeps us from experiencing the most important relationship in our lives? This is the workshop for all of us because it will open our minds and our hearts to the greatest love of all. Believe it or not, it's so simple to know and so hard for so many of us to do. Come to the workshop and grow with us. There is a $20 fee that includes refreshments and materials. If that's a problem, we always have scholarships available. Just check in with us and we'll make sure that we have a scholarship for you. We meet at 520 Royal Palm Boulevard in Vero Beach. You can get more information on the workshops and other issues at www.bethwe.com. Welcome back, everybody. I'm in the studio with my friend Nancy D'Amico, and we're talking today about navigating the big changes in life, the big transitions, the big uh-oh moments. And, you know, the one thing we got to talk about, Nancy, change is inevitable. Doesn't that stink?
I know. There are times I just want to sit in the now and not have it.
Yeah, I mean,
pushed.
There's no sense in trying to waste your energy to stop changes from coming. They're coming.
Exactly.
Just like growing older.
Yes.
It comes, you know?
I have a good friend of mine up in New York that we grew up together. We were teenagers together. We had our children together and our grandchildren together. And I used to say to her, I used to laugh, she doesn't go for change. Her house is exactly the way it was. I said to her, if ever I go blind, I would like to be living here because I know where every piece of furniture is and I won't knock into anything.
Yeah.
You know, she's amazing, and she never wanted to get past her teenage years, you
wow.
know, and, you know, the old songs and everything
yeah.
that they, you know, and she knew every song and what year it came out and everything, you know, but she just resisted the change of, you know, our adulthood.
Right,
and,
and it's hard.
It was.
Yeah, I mean, it's inevitable. Change is going to come, you know, like anything, like growing older, like wrinkles on your face, I don't know what, but it's going to come. Change happens. Just like the morning can't be the morning all day long. It's
right.
going to be the afternoon. It's going to be the evening. So that's one thing. I just, you know, that's a tip. Once you recognize that, the change is a normal part of life, it makes it a little bit easier to get through that denial or the resistance or, you know, the anger or the complaining about it. Just get on with it.
Yes.
Because it's going to be the way it is.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. How about this one? What about if you choose to be part of it or not? You know, I mean, change happens, and sometimes people choose not to be a part of it. So they, like, check themselves out from something that's happening all around them with people they love and know. And you
yeah.
could be part of it if you want to, but you're choosing not to just because you're not into the change. Does that really change it? Does that really stop it from happening?
It never stops it from happening. It's like an inevitable thing.
Right.
The only thing constant is change.
Right.
And so we have to, you know, just go with the flow, you know. And I hated change. And, you know, I had these little babies that were so cute as babies, and then they started growing up, and I thought, oh, my God, this is too fast. I can't, you know, when they become their own little people. And I was like, you know. Even today, I'll think to myself, oh, it was so cute when they were this size. I wish that it had, you know.
Yeah.
But I really, you know, when I started recognizing those changes in my first children, as I had my children, I started to really take the joy in the moment.
Right.
Because I knew that this moment was going to pass.
Yeah, that it wasn't forever.
Right.
That they were going to grow out of it and change, yeah. You know, I think sometimes one thing that makes people fight change or transition is that it's not on schedule. You know, it's kind of not working with my schedule. You know, I mean, it's kind of you got to move your schedule around to help with the change.
Right.
Sometimes it's hours that you work. Sometimes it's school hours for kids. You know, the difference between a grammar school hour and a high school hour is very different.
Yes.
High school starts much earlier. College starts earlier. You know, if they're in a local college in your town. But so so you have to kind of remember that you have to work your schedule around. You still need rest. You still need exercise. You still need to eat well. You still need to take care of yourself.
Yes.
So you're going to have to navigate change well. Maybe part of the problem you're having is that it's interrupting parts of your schedule and you haven't reworked that.
Right.
So rework your schedule because it's just part of it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all part of the process.
Yeah. How about emotions? I think sometimes people stuff their emotions, you know, so they don't feel them. And they think that if they stuff their emotions, that the emotion isn't there. You had mentioned earlier that you used to stuff anger and it turned into depression. You know, it does morph, you know, and other emotions when they get stuffed can turn into anger.
Right.
And that's not necessarily what's going to help you. If you have something holding you back, if you're angry or if you're sad or some big emotion is holding you back, you know, you have to acknowledge that emotion and deal with it. And you have to be realistic about it. You have to be truthful. I'm angry about this. Maybe you have to talk to somebody. Maybe you have to pound nails in the garage like I did. Maybe you have to go for a run. Maybe you have to call a therapist and sit down and talk to somebody who can help you work it through. But you have to realize that emotions can hold you back and be real about them. Be honest about them.
Yeah. Sometimes you need to go to some counseling because sometimes you don't even know what you're feeling.
Right.
You know, there was a time where I had kind of stuffed my feelings all over and I would always come out in anger and, you know, that wasn't the emotion I was really dealing with. I was really dealing with the sadness,
the hurt,
the pain of it, you know.
Yeah.
And instead, you know, I grabbed onto this anger and, you know, and I lived in it.
Right.
You know.
I wrote a little children's book for adults, but it's called Box of Feelings. And I really did write it for my kids when I was going through a divorce. And it's about, you know, having a box of feelings like on your chest and you stuff emotions in there. But be careful. If you choose not to feel an emotion, it's going to change while it's in that box of feelings. And it's going to come out as anger. You might have stuffed in disappointment or sadness, but it comes out anger. You can stuff in happiness so you don't want them to know you're happy about something. You stuff it in there. It'll come out anger too.
Yeah.
They all do. They morph in that box. And so that's really important that we recognize that, you know, because our feelings are just indicators. They're not right or wrong.
Yeah, I'm glad you talked about stuffing the emotions because I think to myself there were times where I was happy and I was afraid because I had other people in my life that were unhappy. So I was afraid to show that happiness.
Right.
And, you know, I've learned, you know, over the years that if I stay, you know, if I'm happy, I should show the happiness because I might be able to pull somebody else out of the depression.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really important. You know, I think that each time you take a step to get through the change, that you should reinforce yourself and give yourself an attaboy. You know, give yourself, just say, you know, it's all good. It's, you know, you're doing okay, Beth, you know. Talk to somebody else. Maybe seek help from others that have done the same thing. You know, you don't have to face big transitions alone. Seek other people that understand. Again, earlier we talked about support groups, whether it's a grief counseling group or a women's group that does something you like to do, or a 12-step group if it's something you're trying to overcome. Maybe you have an overeating issue or an alcohol issue or something. Go to a 12-step group. But sometimes we have to reinforce that we're doing positive things to help us through that. And that's important, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's important, too. And I think the last thing is, you know, you have to be truthful about what the transition is going to mean to you. If you're somebody trying a new food regime and you don't want to worry about weight, well, then look at the other positive things. You don't have to cook all that other stuff either. You don't have to, you know, there's a lot of it that doesn't cost as much at the grocery store, whatever it is. But read up about it. Do what you need to do. Be informed. Because being informed about what you're going through can help you go through it better. Don't you agree?
Yes.
Yeah. Any last words, Nancy? We're tying it up for the day.
I'm just grateful to have been asked to come on with you.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you here. And, you know, I think a lot of people listening know what it's like to be navigating a life change that's difficult. And you and I certainly do.
Yes.
And we've been there to support each other at different times in our lives. So I appreciate that, and I thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And tune in with us next week. We'll be here. We'll be talking to you. We'll be talking about things that matter because, you know what? At BethWee.com, we care that you live your best life. Go there if you're looking for help. We're always a friend in need.